Today, we'd like to study the man of God, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 to 21. To nine worthy people on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three questions. Number one, in verse 11, but you, man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. What does it mean? And how could it apply to our life? Question 2, in verse 17, commands those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. What does it mean? And how should we do accordingly? Question 3, in verse 20, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradiction of what is falsely called knowledge. What does it mean? This is a letter which Paul sent to Timothy. Previous verses, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 to 10, disciple Paul said, now godlessness, likeness of God, with contentment, with satisfaction, is a great gain, great advantage. For we brought nothing in this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. When we were born, we didn't bring anything. When we go into heaven, we will not bring anything. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. If you have food and clothing, we will be satisfied, content. We give thanks to the Lord for them. Verse 9, but those who desire to be rich, don't desire to be rich, because you fall into temptation and a snare, and into snare or trap, and into many foolish and harmful lusts. Lust is fleshly desire, which drown man in destruction, resulted in destruction and perdition. Verse 10, also, for the love of money, don't love money, is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith. Some turned away from the faith in their godlessness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Unhappiness. Also, verse 11, Christian characters talk about here righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness are the characters of Christ coming from the fullest of word and of the Spirit. Verse 11 here, but you, O man of God. In the Old Testament, some prophets are called as man of God. For example, Moses called as a man of God. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 1. Now this is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. Flee is an active verb, not passive verb. These things indicate don't desire to be rich, and don't love money, and pursue righteousness. Pursue also active rich. Righteousness is rooted from faith, because Romans chapter 1 verse 74, in it the righteousness of God is revealed from face to face, or from faith. So righteousness coming from the faith. Or godless likeness of God, or likeness of Christ. So you should have the mind of Christ. That is Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which you was also in Christ Jesus. So our Christian life will be sanctified, which meaning be like the mind of Christ, be transformed into the mind of Christ. And faith rooted from the word of God. It was Romans chapter 10, verse 17. The faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Love is the fruit of the Spirit. Here, Galatians chapter 5, verse 20-23. The fruit of the Spirit, fruit singular form, is love. Love can describe in many derivatives here, joy, peace, which means peace is included into the love. Long-suffering is the synonym of patience, is included into the love too. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness or meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, also description of derivatives of love too. So, and verse 12. So therefore, we can say for the characters be full of the word and of the spirit. Verse 12, fights, also active verb, the good fight of faith, lay hold, or cleave to, or keep standing on eternal life. That means fight the good fight of faith, which means fight for faith. That's good. So Christian's work is either passive act or active act. Here, flee, pursue, fight, and lay hold are active verbs. Those are dependent upon the work of the Holy Spirit. For example, work out, active word, that is active verb. So, work out your own salvation. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, it shows the work of a Spirit, work of God. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed the word of God, not as in my presence only. My presence meaning disciples' presence, not only disciples' presence, also in absence. But now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation, which means because it is God who works in you. So our God is to work out your salvation in you, both to will, active verb right here, will, and to do, active verb here. It's God is doing for his good pleasure. How God is working in you. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. I do not live any longer, but Christ in me lives. Christ lives in me. Because the Spirit of Christ dwells in me, lives in me. And the life of which I now live in the flesh, in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, loved me and gave himself for me. So then, verse 12, lay hold on eternal life. So fight for faith and keep standing on eternal life, to which you are also called and have confessed or professed the good confession, the good profession in the presence of many witnesses. That means Timothy confessed his confession before many other Christians, probably like Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is Apostles' profession over their confession. So, like he confessed his faith before other Christians. Or witnesses to Christ. Verse 13, I urge you, I encourage you, I charge you. I is a disciple, mentor. Timothy is a mentee, or called as a supportive son. in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, which means God created all living creatures, like a plant or animals, you know, such things, or sea animal, you know, created life to all things. And before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession or good profession before Pontius Pilate, that is, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Also, Jesus said, "I, as a king, should bear witness to the truth." So that is John chapter 18, verse 35 to 37. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." That's Jesus' good confession. Simply, Jesus' kingdom of heaven, of God, not this world. This world is actually possessed by Satan, because Adam was tempted to give this world to Satan. "If my kingdom were of this world or belonging to this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king." So Jesus said, "I am a king of the kingdom of God. For this cause, because of that, I was born. And for this cause, because of that, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." So Jesus should bear witness to the truth. "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." So truth is, who is truth? Jesus Christ. Everyone who belongs to Jesus Christ hears Jesus' voice. So that is a good compassion. Verse 14, "That you keep this commandment which is to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life without spot, blindness, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing," until our Lord Jesus Christ coming again. Verse 15, "which he will manifest in his own time," in God's time. So he will show us Jesus coming again. So not our time. He who is the blessed. Nobody knows when Jesus will come here. Only except God. God's knowing. "He who is the blessed." So Jesus blessed is only potentate or only sovereign. Only ruler, king of kings. You know, a lot of kings on the earth, including president, but all of kings, king of kings, Jesus Christ, the Lord of lords, a lot of masters, a lot of employers, but every employee, the Lord over all lords is Jesus Christ. Verse 16. "Who alone has immortality?" Only Jesus is not dying, immortality. "Now Jesus, who sits in the right hand of God Father, dwelling in an unapproachable light, when disciple or Saul, formerly Saul, saw Jesus Christ in light." So the Paul eyesight was blind for a while. "Whom no man has seen or can see, even Moses cannot see the Lord's face. Moses saw afterglow in the back of God, who knew him face to face," which meaning God knew Moses in depth, face to face. Exodus chapter 33, verse 20-23. First of all, because God is a spirit, so we cannot see. Jesus said God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Exodus chapter 33, verse 20-23, "But God said, you cannot see my face. God said to whom? Moses, for no man shall see me and live. If you see my face, you will die, cannot live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by, because you cannot see my face. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, not my face, but my face shall not be seen. Also, Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 10. But since then, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. The Lord knew Moses face to face. Here, face to face, meaning not seen face to face. Knew face to face. Knew Moses in depth. Then, 'To whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen.' So our Jesus Christ is honored and everlasting power. Verse 17, 'Command those who are rich in this present age,' or the present world, in rich of material, rich of treasures, or rich over money, present age, not to be haughty, not to be high-minded, not to be proud because of you have a lot of money, nor trust in uncertain riches. Don't trust on the riches, treasures, money. So those riches, material money given by God. So when you seek first God, which is His kingdom and righteousness, that is, you will receive the other thing, you know, such as material power and glory. For example, Solomon seeking wisdom to judge his people, the wisdom, then riches and honors given by God. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Behold, look, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you. God told to Solomon, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you, God given you, because the first Solomon sought God, God's kingdom and righteousness. He seek wisdom to discern which one right or wrong according to his statute, his judgment, his law. Then is God said, I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he just said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, whatever necessary thing, shall be added to you or shall be given to you. So here, also don't trust in uncertain riches. One example, young rich ruler, he really trusted on riches because Jesus told him, you should sell your materials and giving them to the poor people, but he was so upset. So Matthew chapter 16, verse 20 says, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world, loses his own soul? So everyone's soul value is much greater than the whole value of the world, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4, riches do not profit in the days of wrath. That meaning in the day of judgment, material cannot save you. But righteousness rooted from faith, delivers from death, eternal death. So riches are helpless for redemption or salvation, but faith leads to salvation. So Matthew chapter 19, verse 23, Jesus told it to the rich young ruler, Jesus said then to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man, here, a man who trusts on riches, to enter the kingdom of heaven, the matter of heart. So then here, don't trust the riches, but trust in living God, who gives us ritually all things to enjoy. So whatever given by God, enjoy it for God's glory. So Ecclesians chapter 5, verse 18-19, because that's a gift of God, or that's a heritage from God. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18-19, here is what I have seen. Solomon said, it is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy right here, the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him. For it is his heritage. So God's given heritage to you, the good, you know, drinking, eating. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, and given him power, the riches and power to eat of it, to receive his healthy and rejoice in his life, because this is the gift of God, the gift of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, all of it. So basically, rejoice it, you know, enjoy it. All things, to enjoy all things. Love, such as love, joy, material, power, honor, enjoy them for God's glory with contentment because of your heritage from God. That is God's gift. Then, not limit there, then further use them for God and neighbors. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works. Use them for God and for neighbors. Be rich over Christ, be rich toward God, ready to give it, willing to share. Even the poor people of material can share it. For example, Christians of Macedonia. It seemed poor, a lot of the persecuted, but they were rich to give away to the people. That one is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, you make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, which is the grace of God given upon the Christians. Church meaning a group of born-again Christians, right? Church is plural, so it is several, you know, local churches, but the Christians over Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction, so a lot of persecution or hardship, but the abundance of their joy, joyfulness coming from the Lord, and their deep poverty. But although there's deep, you know, poverty of material, also deep poverty of spirit. So which means hunger for the word of God and the thirsty for the spirit. Abounded in the riches of their liberality. So they are abundant, they have riches to give away to the needy people. Verse 18, storing up or laying up for themselves how a good foundation for the time to come. Time to come, which means the time when Jesus is coming again. So simply meaning lay up them in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, 20. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Verse 20, O Timothy, guard or keep what is committed to your trust. So that is fight, a good fight of faith, and lay hold on eternal life. Keep them, avoiding to profane, which means unholy. Don't make a God's man, such as Jehovah, Jesus Christ, into unholy. Or don't use that in unholy situation. Then idle babbling, like gossip, avoid gossip, and contradiction of what is falsely called knowledge. It is interesting in King James Version, falsely called science. For example, evolution. Evolution is not science. Science always based upon fact, evidence. Evolution simply meaning protein become one unit cell, which is alive. Then unit cell is evolved to fishy and snake, frogs, and cow, sheep, you know, monkey, and human being, like that. That is a false science. That is not supported by first thermodynamics and the second thermodynamics and the genealogy, the DNA, you know, not supported at all. That is an example. By professing it, so don't contest this false science. If you confess or admit this false science, some of them have a straight concerning the faith. So turn the back from the faith. Turn away from the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. Let's see each question answer in verse 11. But you, O man of God. So man of God is... in New Testament, every born-again Christian, based upon God's grace, so be qualified to be man of God, because all born-again Christians belong to the Lord. That's why the born-again Christian group are called the church had in Christ. Believe these things is in the context. Don't desire to be rich, and don't love money, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. So this is the characteristic is simply meaning be full of the word and the spirit. Because patience, gentleness is a derivative of love, so that's a fruit of Holy Spirit. Faith rooted from the Word of God, godliness, likeness of Christ. So that is coming from Jesus said, you know, I am truth. Truth also, Jesus said, John chapter 17, truth, the Word of God. You know, godliness is coming from also the Word and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. Righteousness is revealed from faith, faith rooted from the word. So therefore, be full of the word and of the spirit. Verse 17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, present world not to be proud. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but rather than in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So the rich all things, you know, just rejoice for, you know, God's glory. So that way, not limit them. Then we are using them for God and neighbors as God commanded. Because the first command, love God, second love neighbors. Last question in verse 20, O Timothy, guard or keep, what is committed to your trust? There is a fight, the good fight of faith. And hold fast on everlasting life. Keep standing on the everlasting. Avoid the profane, you know, unholy. Don't make God unholy, dirty. What idle babbling, that is gossip. Don't use them. Sadly, many people, even many Christians, love gossip. So today's some pastor's sermon, 90% you know, the gossip. Only 10% the word of God. That's sad because the audience, Christian, love, you know, gossip. That's the way. In that way, the problem is turned away from the faith. That's the problem. Contradiction of what is falsely called knowledge. That example is evolution. is one of the false science, is a typical example. Okay. Let's just sing it together, hymn song.